The Sam Miltich Trio is joining us in the studio, and actually quartet, or is it actually the Big Dipper Jazz Band?
No, let's go with, we have many different aliases. We like to keep ourselves under the radar. No, okay. I'm just kidding. No, we like to keep ourselves on the radar, actually. We'll call it the Sam Miltich Trio featuring Don Vidal.
Oh, even better.
Even better.
It has a nice ring.
It's creative, isn't it?
And it's better than the Witness Protection Program.
Yes, that's true. We've done some of that, too, but we're going to try and veer away from that at this point in our career. So, anyways, moving forward. Yes.
Yes.
Here we are.
Well, for folks that don't know, Sam Miltich is a phenomenal guitar player. He started playing gypsy jazz a number of years ago.
Yeah, it was about 15, 16 when I got into that.
Yeah, and I don't want to stay away from the music too long, but one of the things that I saw in your bio that was absolutely fascinating to me is that you had not heard of Django Reinhardt until you saw the Woody Allen movie Sweet and Low Down.
True.
Which actually was a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie. It's funny that you brought it up because it was on television just the other day, and I rewatched some of the scenes, and I said to Dan, I was at his house and we were in the kitchen, I said, you know, the problem is I just have to put this on pause because every time I see this, it just makes me want to play my guitar. So we did. I put it on pause and I played the guitar. So,
oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. That's wonderful. It was an interesting movie. Sean Penn was the non-Django Reinhardt American guitar player who got no credit at all, which was kind of a funny story all the way around. But you can certainly hold yourself up there with the Django folks quite well and have been lauded as one of the better Django guitar players in the world.
Appreciate it much.
Yeah.
Appreciate
but much. You've moved on a little bit. You've expanded your horizons.
We're doing more straight-ahead jazz these days, adding a drummer to the mix and a saxophone player.
Sure. So. And you're still letting your dad play with you. That's very nice of you.
He's the best bass player in... Itasca County, Northern Minnesota.
And you really enjoy having him play with you.
Yeah, like the real point of the matter is that I think, you know, our society has moved away from sort of family-oriented things, and the beauty of playing with family, creating art and music together, it builds community. And one of the things I'm so proud to say is that I do get to play with my dad, who is a great dad, but also, that all aside, he's a great musician. And I also get to play with some other great musicians, and we're all from Grand Rapids, Minnesota. We have Don Vidal, who's from Grand Rapids, and we have Mike Miller, who's a native of Grand Rapids as well. So we're just proud to be part of what I think of as a Northern Minnesota jazz community.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have local people doing local things and making things really, really wonderful and kind of showing off talents and showing off all kinds of just abilities that you don't even hear about sometimes. You don't even know that there's a guy around your corner who's a really, really talented sax player, or there's a really talented drummer down the road. And when you can all get together and make that come together with where you live, it's a wonderful thing.
It is.
Well, why don't we hear a tune, and then we can chat some more a little later.
Okay.
What are you going to play first?
We're going to play a tune titled In a Mellow Tone by Duke Ellington. One, two, three, four, one. Thank you.
Indeed.
Thank you.
So you guys are playing really very traditional swing, jazz, nice, easy listening, fun
very
stuff
true.
To just yeah. be around. And if people want to hear it more tonight, they can come down to the Gunflint Tavern tomorrow night too.
Yep.
That's really, it's just nice music to listen to.
Thank you. Appreciate that much.
And hang out. One of the things, you know, being a guitar guy, one of the things I always like to talk a little bit about is people's instruments. And you've moved
yes.
on from the Selmer McAferry typical gypsy jazz guitar.
That I have. Not necessarily moved on, but when I'm in this context, this guitar is more appropriate
mm-hmm.
for it. You know, it's... I think about it this way. I own three guitars. I own the Gypsy McAferry style guitar.
Right.
I use that with a violin and a rhythm guitar for hot club music.
Sure.
When I'm playing more traditional fiddle tunes, bluegrass, I have a LaPlante flat top guitar that I play. And when I'm playing this, I play an archtop.
Archtop jazz guitar.
Jazz guitar. And so it's really just the right tool for the trade. And great thing about this guitar is this is built in Duluth by a luthier named Ed Schaefer, who used to be in Duluth, who's now down in Texas. Been doing this guitar for many years now, and I just love it. It's got a beautiful sound, and it's probably what I would say the most reliable of all my instruments. And I know you know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about.
and so when the instrument is reliable and happy, so is the player.
Right. Well, I also want to mention your dad's instrument,
yes.
which is a full, actually three-quarter size upright bass.
Yeah,
is that it?
Three-quarters, yeah.
And so he's not cheating. He's not playing an electric bass. He's got the actual wood box here with him. And I'll tell you, that instrument is his testament to it's all about tone. Because
well,
it ain't about the looks.
This is an old timer. It was built in Germany in 1931
uh-huh.
by a father and son who made just cellos and basses. Stolzel is the name. And it looks like it's been through the wars.
Yeah.
And
maybe has.
And, you know, Elmer's glue.
Yeah.
That's what keeps it together.
Well, I have to say that it does work quite well, and the tone is there.
Well, I love it. It's a wonderful old instrument. I'm pleased to be the custodian for a while.
Well, I had somebody that just offered a violin to me that they were literally ready to throw on the firewood pile. And it looked actually very much like your bass.
And, well, that's the story.
If
you can't see on the radio, but...
yeah, there's a few interesting edges there here and there and places where it's been glued back together and some pieces that, you know, maybe aren't actually at the right angle. But it all works exactly the way it should, and it plays beautifully and
yeah.
obviously sounds good.
Well, and play is the key word because... what you do with music is you don't work it, you just play it.
Right.
And so we like to say that when we come to places like Grand Marais to play, that we don't feel like we're getting paid for playing. We play for free.
And maybe you're not.
But we need but we need to travel and we need to move our gear.
Sure.
But the actual playing is just sheer joy. So.
Well, and that's a subject I'd like to bring up a little bit is, you know, you guys have really literally played all over the world.
Yeah.
And so you're from northern Minnesota.
Yep.
You're northern Minnesota folks.
We mm-hmm. are.
You know, I've seen you steelhead fishing. I've seen you hunting.
Yeah.
I, you know, run into you out in the woods. That's kind of cool. And it's I'd like to, you know, get your impression of what it's like to play other places and how that affects your music and what it's like to be here.
Well, when we played in urban places, which we've had to do sometimes. If you're going to play jazz, you can play in northern Minnesota, which we do and we love doing. Sometimes, though, you have to travel to urban places. But we sort of regard it as being something like what European gypsies do. They live with their own people. they go to the city, they collect a few coppers, and then they flee. That's what we do.
Yeah, and you know, I will say this. Traveling and going to different places obviously is going to bring new influences into your music. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really valuable. So when we do go on the road and we do those things, we take valuable things that we've learned and we bring them back to our community. So, you know, we can go out on the road and tour and do these things, and then we can come back to our home community and share those wonderful gifts that we've received as gifts from other people and bring it back to our own people and to help strengthen community where we are. And, you know, we love, the way I think of myself is as a North American, because I love the continent of North America so deeply. And I really don't see the line that's about 30 miles up the road.
Right.
I just see the beautiful trees and the Pigeon River.
Right.
And I'm just a lover of this land. And fortunately, this is the land of jazz, too. So.
Well, there's an awful lot of people that appreciate any kind of good music all yep. over northern Minnesota and really around the whole region. You know, yep. people just like to hear music well played.
Yeah, that's and right. And good music is a universal language, and we found that wherever we go in the world, it's well received if it's done well.
So. I was going to mention something about your bass, Matthew. And
sure.
You know, when you stand upright, you're a tall fellow, but that bass is at least as tall as you are. That must present a couple of problems when you want to move around.
Well, yeah, the drummer has a rougher time than the bassist.
Okay.
Maybe. With the possible exception of the fact that the bass is so fragile. The drummer actually has an awful lot of gear to carry. But, you know, I've wondered if I shouldn't have played the flute instead.
Well, there is an inequity, because doesn't the piccolo player get paid as much as the bassist in the orchestra? I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But somehow they've got to compensate for the fact that he has to drive the station wagon rather than the Prius.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly right.
There are at least two prerequisites to being a bassist. One is you have to have a bass. Which,
that's a good start.
Which is a problem, actually, because the basses are much rarer than a lot of other instruments.
Oh, yes.
But the other thing is, then you have to have a vehicle that you can move a bass with. And then after that, you know, everything else is gravy.
Until the blisters appear.
And I did also notice that your featured saxophone player has switched gears himself. He dug out another instrument.
Yes, this is a Yanagazawa soprano saxophone.
It's a what?
A Yanagazawa soprano saxophone. A lot of people mistake it for a clarinet.
It's not just a fancy clarinet.
Or it's also known as the fish horn.
Oh.
And I don't know why that is, maybe.
Are you going fishing this weekend?
He's hoping to coax a few trout out of the lake.
I have my rod and reel, and I have camp set up, so okay. You never know where it'll take us tomorrow after the gig.
Well, I have a feeling that these guys kind of know where to take you, so maybe they'll get you onto some fish.
Actually, I do, but I'm not saying it on air.
You will tell me, though, right?
I will. Don, we've played for many years. I will tell you.
It looks like we're going to hear the difference between the saxophone you started with and, I can't pronounce this one, but I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
Saxophone.
Well, let's hear it.
One, two, three, four.
Wow, that's really different. That is a beautiful, beautiful, sweet instrument.
Oh, thank you.
Beautiful. And not at all like Kenny G.
Not that that would be a totally bad thing, but...
I'm not sure, David.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, he's managed to make a career out of it. Can't knock it too much. Anyway, yeah, fascinating. That's just a really, really cool sound. I love that. It's just a beautiful, beautiful, sweet sound. There's lots of different classic jazz, standard jazz things out there that you guys probably know and play. And how do you decide? And I heard you even talking as you're walking in the room here. What are we going to play first? How do you decide? I mean, is it just what you've been working on lately, or is there some muse that strikes you?
When we're playing on the radio, whatever we've played a whole bunch and we're comfortable with. So that's a big part of it. I think it's a culmination of just different tastes, different strengths, the different players. Donnie is like the best blues player I've ever heard. And, you know, so we do a lot of blues stuff that features him. And, you know, my dad loves standards, a great standard player. So we do a lot of standards with him. And, you know, I like it all. And, you know, it's just whatever suits your taste, you know. And yeah. I think it's whatever moves you in the end. You know, it's really hard to play music that doesn't move you.
Right.
We do play music that moves us. And, you know, we're...
the other thing is we actually like to challenge ourselves by playing things that we haven't played before, or that we know only sort of tangentially, things mm-hmm. that we've bumped and heard but haven't played before. So we do quite a lot of experimenting and close to home. That's one of the nice things about playing close to home, is when we play close to home, we get together frequently and we just try stuff. We take tunes right out of the jazz reel books and say, let's just do this tonight and mix it up.
Yep. Yeah, just keep it fresh. Keep doing new stuff, keep learning. I mean, that's why we put this group together, is we just wanted to keep learning and growing. And I think that's the whole idea with jazz, is finding new ground.
Well, that actually segues into another thing that I want to ask you very quickly, and I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here just a little bit. This is graduation week.
Oh.
And all the high school seniors are graduating, and they're going to be moving on to the next chapter in life. And
sure.
Cook County has a lot of young musicians, a lot of people who've played in the high school band and play in rock bands and things like that.
Yep, yep.
And you've played all, you know, your life, and you had to make a decision at some point. Do I want to make a career out of this? Do I want to do something else? I'm not going to ask you to give any advice. But if you have a nugget that you might want to pass on to some kids who like music, it's part of their life now, what should they try to do with that?
This is what I always come back to, is one, if you take care of the music, the rest will follow. And two, the world not only is hungry for art, but needs art.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'll say.
Sure. That's lovely. And if you'd like to move on to the next tune, I'll just leave it at that.
Sure.
Thank you.
to the Sam Miltich Trio plus Don Vidal on saxophone. And thanks so much for coming in and playing.
Thank you so much, David.